Spoken word.
A taste of Melbourne's diverse poetry scene.
Poets using their voices to entertain, to move, to take you on a journey.
Connecting you to grassroots poetry and performance.
Welcome and good morning to all of our listeners. This is 3CR Spoken Word. I'm Michael Reynolds and I'm honoured to have sitting with me in the studio today's guest, Ed Berger.
Hello.
Before we start, I'd like to acknowledge we're on the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation and give respect to their elders past and present. Now, most people familiar with my photography would know I'm a fan of punk rock, but the first person I ever met with a mohawk was actually Ed. He was this apparition appearing on the stage of the Dan O'Connell poetry, transfixing me with a combination of absurdism and opera. And it gave me a window into poetry like I'd never seen it before. And yeah, I've been a massive fan since.
Well, thanks, Michael.
So, good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, Michael.
You've been remarkably busy lately with books and performances, but plenty of things. There's even a play in the works, I've heard. So, would you be able to give us a picture of Edward Berger?
Okay, well, what's upcoming is me and my partner Lulu and Jez Spillman, Katie Lohner and Duff Gregfield. We're performing, as well as Not Done Yet, the group. We're performing up at the Goldfields Gothic Festival of Dark Ideas, which is really cool, in Malden. Happens once a year. That's at the end of July. I'm putting on one of my plays, which I made the costumes for and am acting in and directed and wrote. And I'm also helping Lulu with her puppet show. I shall be a puppeteer and also be doing some roving, a bit of theatre. Yes. That'll be great.
There's a couple of books in the works as well, I believe. One soon to be launched book of poetry and a novel.
The poetry book has been launched, Millennium Poets, and I'd like to read something from that today. That was published by my friend Joel O'Connor. But I also published a novel, self-published a novel, which I shall be launching soon, called The Greatest Performance Artist in the World, writing from my own experience, of course. But yes, that's it's a bit of a mixture of drawings, scripts, some poetry, and yes, lots of prose, of course, lots of stories, lots of lists. It's very postmodern and experimental and funny.
What could you tell me about Millennium Poets 2?
Yes, well, let's see, the sequel to a book of poetry that was Millennium Poets 1 that was put out about 30 years ago. It stemmed from the Empress Hotel, a reading that was held there and had quite a few poets from the scene, and they decided to kind of make it a snapshot of the scene at the time. But, 30 years on, they decided to revisit that. Where are the poets now? And it includes work by some of their children and includes some new people like Gabrielle Everall and Jez Spillman.
Mm. So, would you like to share with us your poetry from that book?
Yes, I've got one I'd like to do. I've got a couple of experimental ones, and one perhaps not quite so experimental performance-wise, but a tricky one. So I'll give it a go. It's a designer worth her salt. When a designer is laying out a newsletter and a client gives her a bunch of amateur photographs to include, for which there is little room, the designer knows she will be in for a hard time. Because our world is largely made up of horizontal planes, the majority of extraneous material will likely be scattered along the horizontal plane either side of the central subject. When a designer is formatting photographs that must all conform to the same space constraints, e.g. must fit the width of one of the newsletter's columns exactly, any designer worth her salt knows that if you reduce the width of any photograph, it will take up more room. If a photograph that is twice the width of a square has a lot of extraneous material on either side of the central subject, it might be necessary to cut out that extraneous material in order to render the photograph publishable. It may, in fact, be necessary to make that photograph a square. In a universe populated by squares and various other geometric shapes, a horizon governed by space requires of the designer much salt for its successful negotiation. Because all photos must fit the one width, to cut out the width of a photograph in half is to double its height. Not only do two half squares make a square, but two squares make a half square. If you cut a half square in half, you will make a square that is equal to two half squares. Cut a horizontal half square in half, you will double its size. The great designer makes tame the horizon. The great designer shores up her salt and bends space to her will. The rule does not apply to vertical photographs. Though one is still faced with much extraneous material, ridiculously tapered legs and bulbous heads, to cut out the extraneous material may actually reduce the photograph's size. Any designer worth her salt would not accept photographs from an amateur photographer, particularly when space is at a premium, for one must be the ruler of space and not be ruled by it.
Okay. Oh, my. Love it. You're listening to 3CR Spoken Word, and our guest for today, Ed Berger. Now, we are going to hear some more poetry, but first I'd like to say that we're still fundraising. We've got a radiothon on at the moment, and any contributions will help us stay on air, and 3CR stay on air. We are independent radio, and please subscribe. So, Eddie, have you got any others in the book that you'd like to read?
I've got some others. This is called Death Awaits the Din. It's quite a different style. The days are dead. Frail bodies flop. A car ran over a foot. There's an acorn in my ear. I tweaked something and it responded appropriately. The night is ruptured by rapturous applause. Sedate sentinels stumble along. The coffee mug fell over. I hate dogs. With my cane, I felt for some sort of substance. A year is a lifetime. My diary is full. Death awaits the dim. Senses, sense, sense. I prattled off a series of things in a very prattling manner. The dawn is dreary, but I remain on top. I like being a spaceship. The earth is a tip. Sedate sandals slapped out a syncopated beat. 1 second in the history of the universe. The carrion ran off with my foot. Better wafer pin, irate frogs. Thank you.
Oh, my. You've hit upon one of my absolute most favourite things about your poetry, and that is your ability to step into and out of the poem constantly. one of my all-time favourite lines of yours, and I think it was in the middle of a love poem, that you suddenly say, an ant bumped into a twig.
Yes,
I absolutely love that. All right. I'm just about to say what I'm pretty sure all our listeners are saying right now. More, please.
Thanks, Michael. This one's Everything Makes Sense. It's, it's playing with the idea of time travel and messing up the timeline and, things being very inconsistent. Anyway, Everything Makes Sense. A factual account of a period in my life when time travellers kept doing things like disturbing butterflies and falling on people. Hello, little Morris, with your curly blonde locks, fair skin and blushing cheeks. Aren't you the swarthy young buck? Yep, you sure are, Your Majesty, a burly and feminine homeopathist if ever I saw one. Enough arguing, nephew, I said. Tears suddenly appeared at the corners of her old wrinkled skin. I'm sorry, I shouldn't speak so harshly, I bellowed. Be a good doggy and accompany me to my rubber dinghy. I'm setting off on a 10-year journey into outer space. I'll see you this evening. Is there anything I can do for you while you're gone? It argued. Oh yes, I almost forgot. Be a good house and put all my food into cold storage because I won't be requiring it any sulfur deposits until now. I hope you have a pleasant secondment, I didn't say. Shut up, please, you scraped. Beep, toot, brr, brr, tick, 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 tick. Four. Thank you.
Lovely stuff.
Now my the last poem that I have in this anthology is a bit more conventional, but I like it a lot. A dark silhouette of a figure. In those dark, desperate days between disbelief and falling into a cold, hard shock, a dark silhouette of a figure kept appearing all over the place, and people could only guess what mysterious deeds were done because it left no trace. While your mythical, stereotypical, dark silhouette of a figure figures in secret deals and deeds with gun, knife or rope, this one offered a glimpse of hope. In that space between a cold, hard place and disillusionment, between the bars, back streets, lanes and gutters, the dark silhouette reached beyond the despairing and the destitute. Alone in the desert of the jungle of the never-ending night, that dark silhouette flickered in the shadows of a nearby streetlight. Such a feeble lamp, it was lurching in the damp, that cold, damp and dark silhouette was, caught in a merciless downpour. All you could see was a silhouette, a lurching silhouette that left no trace.
How did the second book actually come about? Did a bunch of people get together and say, we're putting the band back together or something like that?
It might have been something like that. My friend Joel, he was one of the original members and contributors, but he wasn't the editor. The original editor was Sean Stanier, who was the editor of the first one and appeared in that one. And he also appears in the new one, but it was Joel's idea to put together a snapshot of how things are now compared to how things were then. And he spoke to Sean Stanier. But Joel was the editor of this one, and he actually got in touch with me and asked me if I could help him get in touch with some of the poets from the original one, and yes, I was able to contact a few people, but some people we couldn't get in touch with. A couple of people have passed away, including Grant McCracken, who was in the original one.
Yes,
we've got a couple of his pieces in the new one, out of respect for him, but having all the children of the original ones is a really nice touch, I think, too.
Yes.
I will add that Joel also asked me to invite some more recent poets, so it would be more like a snapshot of the current time. So I put the word out and I contacted quite a few people. I only got Gabrielle Everall and Jess P.A. Spillman involved. But, yeah, their contribution's been great, and whenever we've had the launch or publicity, they've been, I guess, spearheading the advertisement, because publicity, because everyone knows them. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Could you tell us a bit about your play that's going to be performed at the upcoming Gothic Festival?
Yes, well, it's called B-Grade Monster Melodrama. I previous year I presented a play about monsters, which was more your classic monsters, Frankenstein's monster and Dracula. This one I went for the B-grade, a kind of 90s, 50s horror. There's the Blob, there's the Thing from Outer Space, 1950s version, the giant radioactive ants, and the giant leeches. And that's a lot of fun. I have two couples meeting in a shack in the middle of nowhere, and they get attacked by monsters. Of course, really, it's just there's only four cars, and it's one of the couples stepping out to get a fresher breath of fresh air, or getting out to see what's happened to the other person, or going to the toilet, and then they come back on, unbeknown to the audience, of course, dressed as they're playing the monsters, and all these monsters are attacking, and it's great. And, yeah, a lot of fun. I did make the... I made most of the costumes, which surprised people, because my partner, Lulu Lala, is a great costume and puppet maker. But, yes, yeah, so I made a lot of these ones, which had some help from her.
So the other book, or the novel that you've just published, you've got a copy of it there, and would you be able to tell us about it?
Yes, well, it's all very exciting. This is my first novel, first large book, which I self-published, because I was, sending my novels and the short story manuscripts out to a lot of publishers, but not getting a bite, so I thought it was better just to publish it myself. This one's called The Greatest Performance Artist in the World, which, yes, I guess I've got some insight into. It's quite experimental and funny. It's postmodern, and it's got lots of lists, and it's got drawings, scripts, a bit of poetry, and yes, funny lists everywhere. I thought I'd read this is one of the performance scripts that appears in it. The characters, there's two main characters who are in competition, stiff competition with each other. One is a real advocate for improvised theatre. The other one is really against improvised, but only believes in fully scripted and rehearsed to the nth degree. Although the one who's against improvised keeps on getting stuck in situations where he must save himself from being attacked by dinosaurs by hypnotizing them with his improvised performance. This particular piece, he says while he's actually become homeless, and he tries to raise money by performing. Anyway, here we are. So I'll read a little bit of this. This is, yes, from the screen scene when he's homeless. So, ba-ba-da-ba-da. I lay on the box. No, where should I go? I'll go from here. Okay, so while all these boxes just fell away, below is a dialogue as it appeared in the script. I am very proud of it. A work of genius, even if I do say so myself. Hello, hello. I disagree entirely. I am a businessman. I am a businessman. Punchhead repeatedly. Oh, why am I so obsessed with violence? Why must I always hate? In the following passage, alternate from a tremble to a jump every time I say bloop. Bloop, 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 bloop. Hello, hello? I disagree entirely. I am a businessman. I am a businessman. Punchhead repeatedly. In the following passage, alternate from a dip to a spin each time I say bloop. Oh, why am I so obsessed with violence? Why must I always hate? Bloop, 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 bloop. Hello, hello. I disagree entirely. I'm a businessman. I am a businessman. Punchhead repeatedly. in the following passage alternate from a pirouette to an arabesque each time I say bloop. Why am I so obsessed with violence? Why must I always hate? Bloop, 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 bloop. Next, I placed the phone's receiver on the ground, closed the umbrella and placed it beside the receiver, then pulled the tissue paper out of my torso box. I threw the paper upwards in an attempt to suspend it above the air, then I swiftly grabbed my umbrella, and the idea was that the tissue paper should fall onto my extended umbrella, but it just fell on my ass. Sorry, that'll do.
That actually sounded like a very accurate description of any of your artwork.
Performance poetry is like
yes,
that.
So for the listeners, I'd just like to say his surrealism and absurdist artwork is just amazing.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Yeah, whenever there's an exhibition announced, I urge you to go and see an Edward Berger exhibition.
Thank you. Yes, I do visual art quite a bit and exhibit quite often. Most recently, I had some novel extracts and illustrations published in the latest edition of True Confusions. I also have published it in my zines, and I've been doing drawings, line drawings, coloured drawings with ink or with the computer, and also doing digital photography. Yeah.
Hmm. And one thing I really love about these exhibitions that you put on is often they're accompanied by puppetry and roving theatre, which you've got some of that in the works too.
Yes. Well, we love doing the roving theatre, often at the exhibition opening, mine or other people. We've also performed for the City of Port Phillip and various other groups. But yes, I'm also doing roving as part of the Gothic Festival. We've got all sorts of costumes. We got these, like, I guess, cardinals or something, but with cloaks and looking very creepy faces and all that sort of stuff, yeah.
I understand that some of your poetry has been made into choral songs.
Yes, that's right. Several years ago I gave several of my poems to Alexandra Udenberger, and I knew her through Melbourne Unichoral Society, but she's also, then she went on to direct Rocks, the RMIT occasional choir, and she made these poems into songs, which were then performed by the choir, and just the other day, she performed one of the pieces again. So that was great. That was great to hear that performed again, a piece by me called The Child of the Universe, which is actually an extract from a novel. I've since I said, would you like to do some more of my poetry? So I've just given her a whole lot of poems. So hopefully soon we'll see some more choral music made from my poetry.
Mm. Looking forward to seeing some of that.
Yeah, that would be great.
You're listening to 3CR Spoken Word, and our guest today is Ed Berger. And Ed is going to read to us some more poetry.
Yes, I'm going to read now, as I mentioned before, one of my poems that was turned into music was taken from a novel. This piece is taken from quite a recent novel, which is 200,000 words long, which I'm not going to do a fine edit of until I get one of my other novels finished, because it will take too much work. Anyway, it's about how I suddenly had a... It's based in the future. I suddenly get an aardvark head, the head of an aardvark. My head turns into an aardvark's head, and there's a lot of there's a big journey to work out how this happened, and then a mad professor captures me and separates my head from my body, and then I don't have a body for a while, and all sorts of things happen. Her robot cat becomes my accomplice, and I call this robot cat HB. And so here's one, and I do a lot of vomiting when I've got it in my head. Oh, actually, my head was separated from my body. That's right. So my head was vomiting, and that's how they managed to trace its location. Anyway, so here is a section from that scene where a poem appears. HB saw my head second, yet it was still airborne on a downward trajectory, and she recognised the unmistakable trail of vomit unseen from the droid's angle. The vomiting head can only be Ed's. HB saw my head second. A droid saw my head first. Saw head, droid head, saw head first, second. Edward's head belongs to her body, and her brains to her head to her body, her neck to her neck, her hair head her neck was. Her hair neck was, where is was head? Was head, what head? He had her head, her brain, her head, her neck. Hello, head was head body. Who he belongs her brain, her head, her body, her neck. The vomiting head can only be Ed's. The head vomiting is not my neck. It is my droid ahead, HB.
Thank you.
And the droids work for the evil mad scientists who had separated my head in the first place. And now I'd like to do one of my classic performance pieces. This is My Vices, which actually appeared on Overland a while ago. My Ooh. Vices. I was walking down the street, minding my own coffee business, when I see this person I know, and he, coffee, comes up to me and tells me I'm not looking well. Says I'm looking cigarettes. Tense. Says I've got dark smudges under my eyes. I tell him I'm all right, and I manage to get away, only to be confronted by cigarettes, someone else I know. She says I look weary, says I should take better cigarettes care of myself, and should try to lead a sugar healthier lifestyle. I'm coffee, doing all right, I say. I eat sugar well, but I'm in a hurry, I say. I have to make a coffee business appointment. I dash around the nearest corner, past the cigarettes local health food store, and slip into a sugar cafe. I take a seat. I call for a coffee waiter. But just as the waiter comes over, three people I know, people who fatty food work in the health food store, come over, sugar, and ask if they can cigarettes join me. Certainly, I say. The fatty food waiter looks at me. My acquaintances look at me. I order cigarettes, a falafel roll, and a glass of coffee, celery juice. They say, fatty food, that I should oil, take better care of my sugar body. I, cigarettes, oil, should exercise, fatty food more. Do I suffer from cigarettes stress? Am I coffee, sugar, fatty food, getting enough oil sleep? Coffee, cigarettes, sugar, fatty food, oil, and I really should take better care of myself.
This has been a most entertaining 3CR spoken word program. Thank you for listening.